Good day, ladies and gentlemen. We are the Yarn Spinners and we are back. This is us. We are in 2019. We have defeated 2018. We're now on to the next boss. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing very, very well. Very excited to see in the new year and be bringing a brand new episode to our trusted listener.
which one is that one then?
It's probably me, actually.
So you were the one that listened to us at least, yeah, 600 times.
Mate, that's not bad. You know, I want to say thank you to anyone that has listened, getting us, we'll be doing this now 4 months, 4.5 months,
something like that, yeah.
And to get to 600 listens, give or take 12, it's amazing. I'm proud of what we've done so far.
Personally, I think we smashed it, but I would say that, so.
But, you know. No, I'm pleased. What have you done for New Year's? Because you're in a different location to myself at the moment, aren't you? Tell the listeners where you are.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can't really tell you where I am at the moment, but I can... I can geographically allude to where I am.
Sure.
I'm in a country called Russia at the moment.
So if you want to get your atlas out, you might see where he's hinting at where he is.
In a city called Moscow.
Oh.
Sure. Just had lunch with Edward Snowden. So.
Sure. How did that come about?
He's a big fan of the... he's a huge fan of the podcast.
Oh, of course he is.
So I'm in Mother Russia, which is where I am. Testing out the new Novichok strains. why are you laughing?
You're gonna get assassinated.
Why are you laughing?
You are gonna get it. You're so flippant and flamboyant. It's not what Putin wants.
And so. Yeah, no, I've got family here and some friends, so I thought I'd visit them for New Year and Christmas, as well. Sure. As obviously my other half lives here so Christmas was good. What did you do for Christmas, actually? I'll tell you what I did for Christmas, but I was wondering what you did.
I went to my parents' house and helped to cook dinner and just generally had a gay old time.
Of course.
With family and... unfortunately, my girlfriend was working, so I had to have like two Christmases. But you know, it was good. It was just, you know, standard stuff, mate. Family,
yeah, sure.
Orientated.
Sure.
Yourself?
Because Western Christmas is such a huge thing here, I went for a kebab. A Georgian.
Good old Christmas kebab.
Yeah. Georgian kebab. I had a couple of pints, and then I went out for a walk in the whiteness of Moscow.
You did send me a photo and it looked very, very nice.
Not
very festive.
Festive, but not architecturally brilliant.
Not architecturally brilliant, no. Are you on the outskirts of Moscow?
At the moment, yes.
Okay. But, so, yeah. How did your... What have you done today? What were you alluding to?
Today, all I did was just sleep, really. That's literally all I did.
Oh, marvellous. Well, happy new year.
Exactly. So, all change.
Oh, mate, yeah. If any of you, well, I assume all of you who listen don't know Dimitri, he basically hibernates on a daily basis. And
like a Russian bear, mate. Like a Russian bear.
Doesn't get up till around midday. Laziest bastard you have ever met.
Unless I'm working.
Somehow successful.
Somehow.
So.
Work smart, not hard.
Sure. Yeah. So, what are we doing today then, Dimitri? We've got a special one today. Lined
well,
up,
I thought it would be a really good idea, since we're in 2019, literally at the cusp. And I will say the date. It's the 1st of January.
Yes, it is.
I said we should have a 2018 in review. Mm-hmm. and we should look through the biggest stories that made 2018 happen and discuss whatever we want to discuss, possibly even talk about what was our favourite part of the Yarn Spinners podcast.
Of course, why not? And then have a fan competition where they could win a sticker.
Yeah, yeah. What's the sticker of? Do you want to describe it for the listeners?
It's just one that I got out of a cracker. So it's just Santa Claus.
It's just Santa Claus. Oh, so Father Christmas, yeah. You mean? Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, jolly old Saint Nick. So if you want to be in with a chance of winning a small 50p piece sized sticker, then stick around for later.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So let's kick off with the Biebs.
Do it.
What's the Biebs been saying?
Well, what's caught your eye? What do you think? It, without looking at the news for a moment,
sure.
If you were just to cast your mind back.
Sure.
Obviously, I want to take Brexit aside, because that's an ongoing thing.
That's a saga, what was your, isn't it?
It is a saga. It's an epic novel or thing, that one. What was the piece of news that stood out the most for you? If you were just to think back and think, 2018, this happened straight away, what was it?
Well, a number of deaths, notable deaths. There's always a notable death in a year.
Yes.
Obviously, we've had a number of them in 2018. Stephen Hawking.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin.
So
Hugh Hefner.
A few, yeah.
Stanley.
Stanley.
That's not Stanley. That's no, Stan Lee.
Yeah, no, don't. Who's Stanley? No, Stan. Dot. Lee.
I think we've killed that bit. But go on.
So. but yeah, you know, obviously there's always notable deaths, and
yes.
I think Stephen Hawking would have been the
one of the biggest,
probably the least surprising. Simply because, you know,
he lived that long
for so long with a debilitating disease. It should have killed him many, many years ago, so we're always pleased to have him for every extra year.
All he had was a dead leg, so I don't know. I don't know why.
A crippling dead leg.
And he spoke with an American accent, so.
Yeah, yeah. That, he went through that Hollywood phase, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He did.
Depatriated himself.
What do you think? Because I've said notable deaths, you said.
Well, the thing that I would always hark back to, the random turn of events that occurred with it, was the Thai kids in the cave. Just because you know, obviously Elon Musk got involved and he invented like a submersible, and then the whole paedophile thing came out.
Oh.
Do you remember with one of the rescuers or whatever it was?
Yeah. I wouldn't use paedophile and cum in the same sentence, but go on. Don't know why you're laughing. Serious, so.
Paedophiles come and go, mate, you know.
Oh, come on. But kids always stay the same age, yeah?
We're going to hell.
We are going to hell. We are going to hell. Obviously, so, we don't condone paedophilia. That's disgusting.
Obviously, we're not advocates of it. But
so
okay. So what's the Biebs saying? What's the BBC saying?
Well, it's got eight stories.
Eight. Okay. So let's hear them.
I don't think they're in order of importance. I'm not even sure they're in order of occurrence.
No.
I think it's just a matter of these are the top eight most.
But seeing as this is a time capsule episode, Let's break it down.
Most read stories. So, February to early March, The Beast from the East.
Ah, yes. It was horrendously cold. I remember I was off work and I could hardly open my back door.
That's because you're weak.
Because I didn't want to disturb the snow,
so.
Which is pretty.
So over 2 weeks from late February to early March, UK was battered by a cold front from Siberia, which gained the nifty nickname the Beast from the East.
Yes.
In the first few days of March, the cold front combined with Storm Emma, coming from the south, to strike the US with force. bringing rare red warnings of dangerous conditions to large parts of the country. Cumbria.
Sure that you meant the UK, not the US, but sure.
Ah, both. Cumbria, in the northwest of England, saw some of the worst conditions, with drifts of more than 6 metres in places.
It was impressive. I mean, where I live, it's not exactly renowned for its cold weather and its snow snaps. And it was bad. It was bad down here. Roads were closed. People were just abandoning their cars. It was highly unusual. And I had the pleasure of walking to town and taking loads of photos and stuff of somewhere.
Oh. Photos of stuff somewhere. That's nice.
No, I took photos of, Torquay Town Centre and whatever.
Nice.
It's really unusual to see all the snow and stuff. So, unusual opportunity for me.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I remember the Beast from the East because I was working in London at the time. Obviously, everything ground to a halt because, you know, the UK can't really handle snow of more than 2 millimetres.
A light dusting of ice and we come to a standstill.
Exactly. Contrast that with the Russians who get this every year and are therefore used to it and are therefore not really fussed when 3 foot of snow dumps overnight.
The thing is, though, it's all relative, isn't it? Because
sure,
we're not used to that sort of weather here, so obviously the infrastructure's not going to be there for us to be that efficient with it.
Yeah, not the first time that it snowed in the UK, though, is it? So
definitely not. Moving on, what's next?
Well, do you want to introduce it? You've got the same webpage open, so
sure. Well, someone took the limelight from my birthday, which is the 23rd of April.
I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Well, you've only known me for 10 years, but, whatever. But Prince Louis was born.
Louis.
So there he is. Not really that bothered about the royals, so let's move on from that one. Oh, another royal story.
well, before you do that, what's the significance of him?
Of the child?
Yeah.
Is he... I'm not sure, actually.
He's the fifth in line to the throne.
Well, sure, yeah.
That's about it. Keep going. Next.
Cool. So, another royal story for all of those out there who actually give a shit. Harry and Meghan get married, so...
Yes.
Well done. Yep, taxpayer paid for that. Next.
Well, come on. We've got to introduce it. It was...
Well, I mean, if you're a patriotic person, then, obviously the royal family is something to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And, the royal... So, Harry, the youngest son, got married to Meghan... Is it Meghan Markle?
It is, yes. She's a former actress, I believe.
So, a former actress. She's not white, is she? So
she is half and half, yes.
Oh.
From what I understand, her mum is black, but her dad is white.
So it was quite a 21st century sort of step in the right direction, wasn't it, for the royals? Because I can't remember the last time that someone non-white was...
Well, I sort of see it, but I sort of don't, okay? I have a frustration with this. It's like, oh, the royal family is sending out all the right signals. It's like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure that the Tom Knight family tree is pretty white. We don't fucking celebrate it if he goes out with an Asian girl.
No.
So I don't, like, just because someone's heritage is predominantly white, I'm not sure how that, like...
Well, I think it's because if you were to go back down the years, then royal marriages were more... status and they're more significant than just the everyday marriage. If I go out and marry a black girl or an Asian girl, it's not exactly going to cause reverberations around the world.
But I don't think that the royal family is as uptight with the newer generations.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's becoming part of the generation, isn't it? It shows where the new generation is. That the royal family, who typically would be marrying for strategic moves are now moving in circles more relevant to today's society.
Sure. I mean, let's not forget, this isn't like Harry went to Congo and married a village girl.
No, no.
You know, there are... She's not, you know, it'd be slightly different if you went in with like a, I mean, the most important thing about this girl is that her mum is black.
Yes.
Basically, that's the only thing that separates her from whoever William married or whatever else. So.
Yeah. That's not just to say you're not singling her importance in life out for having a black mother. It's just the most significant thing in terms.
Well,
of...
Well, no, but this is what the newspapers and the media single out is the fact that everyone had an amazing thing that, oh look, she's amazing because she, you know, the Queen's amazing because she allowed a half black woman into her family. It's like, guys, this isn't like the 1800s. I'm pretty sure that anyone could marry anyone nowadays. I'm pretty sure that, you know. Some of them are even gay, so...
Probably. Anyway, so the least interesting one, we've spoken about it the most. What's next?
Death of Avicii.
Yeah.
20th of April.
So...
Swedish
DJ.
I'm not
sure... Why is this... I mean, it was sad and everything, but what...
Well,
can you
let's
explain to me why this is number five on the list?
This is the most read story.
Right.
I think the reason why this is number five is because a lot of young people, a lot of those whippersnappers, they listen to Avicii. I listen to Avicii.
Sure.
I'm not young though, so. Wow. I am. 32. So.
You're Asian. No one can tell.
Exactly. Could be young for all you know. I'm 50. So. But no, he. I think that's primarily why, and I think that shows you how the news cycle is shifting, because newspapers and news corporations will want more clicks and more time on their website. Yeah. They will start putting out more tabloid style articles, which include things like, you know, because if this is number five, let's say this is an order of importance or an order of number of reads, the death of Avicii is number five. If that is a trend of how new or what type of news is read, it's quite scary.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's not at fault with that. He was a fairly young musician, from what I understand. He was, how old was he? Do we know?
28.
There we go.
So.
28 years of age and died of. Looks like
a drug overdose.
It was a drug, wasn't it? In Oman as well, of all the places to get drugs.
Yeah, very weird. But there was quite a few notable deaths in the entertainment industry, wasn't there? I mean, you had Mac Miller.
Yes.
And then, what's his name from Linkin Park? Chester?
Yeah, Bennington?
Something like that. So quite a lot of... suicides and just general depression related news.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I mean, there's Penny Marshall. Who is she?
No idea. Who's that?
I'm trying to find someone who's quite like interesting in terms of.
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, go on.
Oh. Someone who doesn't really know. Someone who we haven't really covered. Obviously, we've covered Stephen Hawking. Penny Marshall, don't know who she is. Sandra Locke?
I've heard of her, but I couldn't.
Ken Berry? Oh, what's his face? Died as well. Monica's boyfriend. With the mustache.
Oh, Tom.
Salek. Has
Tom
he died?
Salek, yeah. Surely not.
I might be very wrong.
Fake news.
Obviously, Stan Lee died.
Yes.
Scott Wilson died.
I don't know who that is.
Wow.
But anyway, So whilst you're doing that, I'll move on to number four.
Sure.
So number four was the Burt Reynolds. Rescue.
That's Burt the one. Reynolds. Burt Reynolds died.
Okay,
fine. Sorry, yeah, Thai kids.
Yeah, yes. And what an unusual story this was. So we were speaking off air, no, we weren't. We were talking a minute ago, weren't we, about what our biggest news stories were for us. And this was my pick. And it is weird. What were they doing in there?
I think they were, from what I understand, right, they were in a cave. Or they were going through a cave and a cave collapsed and they were trapped.
Right.
That's it, basically. That's how they got trapped. So they walk
in. They were 3,000 metres in the cave.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, they're a football team.
Yeah. They could moonlight as cave divers. You didn't know that.
It's a weird place to go for football practice. Coach, we've just driven past the field. Yeah, we're going somewhere else to practice today. Where's that? 3,000 metres inside a fucking pitch dark cave.
But if you can control a ball in a cave, you can control a ball on a field, surely.
If you can control a ball while standing 3 feet high in a cave, then you can win the World Cup. So.
Well, probably the, yeah.
Mental, though. I mean, come on.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I know the heavy rains and stuff trapped them in there and flooded, but...
I agree. It was...
A weird story.
It was mental.
It was very odd.
But, so do you want to walk them through to what happened?
So, obviously, it became a global situation quite quickly, and the rescue mission was... It was very well publicised. I think Elon Musk got involved and said that he'd invented some sort of submersible that was designed to get through all the twists and turns to help them. Obviously, in the end, it was a diving operation, and sadly, one of the divers died.
Yeah.
But he's got a statue, so that makes it okay.
Well. But also, the kids got out of life, so that's probably makes
the kids,
it better.
The kids, they did. But then I think one of the unfortunate things was, like I said, that, you know, Elon Musk got into a bit of a social media battle with, was it one of the rescuers?
Yes, it was. He's a former British, he's a British, but he's a former British Marine, I think.
Right.
And he was, oh, you were lying on a bed of hair, are you?
No, I'm not. Sorry. Oh, okay. Go on.
He's a former British Marine, and he's yeah.
But where did the paedophile thing come from?
Oh, I don't know. I think he the former British Marine or whatever he was. I think he said something like, "Oh, you know, that would never have worked," because they asked for his opinion on this submersible vehicle, and said, "Oh, that wouldn't have worked because it wouldn't have got through."
Right.
And Elon Musk said, "Oh, you've no idea what you're talking about. You're a paedophile anyway." And it was like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was a weird situation. It was very odd.
Yeah.
But, you know, there you go. Elon Musk, come on the show.
Absolutely.
Just a selfless plug there.
Yeah, sure.
So what is next on the list? Where are we going? Let's move swiftly through this.
Obviously, also, they went on to visit a Manchester United match as well. A lot of people were quite fascinated with the story about the Thai rescuers, the rescuers. The death of Stephen Hawking, he was 76, died at his home in Cambridge, is number three.
Yeah, that was a sad one for me. I like Stephen Hawking. I looked up to him quite a lot.
Sure.
So yeah, that was a real shame. Absolute genius of a man, and someone who I think helped to glamorise science by appearing in TV shows and stuff. Yeah, I think he will be sorely missed in the world.
I think so. I mean, he's famous for his role in The Simpsons. as... Why are you laughing?
Yeah, that's what he's famous for. not Hawking radiation or his work on black holes. No, the fucking Simpsons.
No, it's the Simpsons where he voiced a character who was in a wheelchair, which coincidentally, he was in a wheelchair as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was weird. I don't think he even spoke. I think he just typed it in a computer, said it.
So I think so. I think
lazy
so.
Voice acting there.
No, but obviously he was a great guy, very, very intelligent guy. I think at one point they said that his IQ was the highest IQ in the world.
Wow.
Which, okay, fine. I'm not sure how accurate that is to determine your intelligence.
Yeah.
But okay. But he wrote A Brief History of Time. That was his first book.
Yes.
A Layman's Guide to Cosmology, which sold more than 10 million copies. That, I think my dad had a copy of that. I read that as well. Yeah. He was the first person to set out the theory that black holes leak energy and fade away to nothing, a phenomenon known as Hawking radiation. He got his disease, his motor neuron disease, when he was 22, and he was told that he had only a couple of years to live. And he was, at the time, I think he was in Cambridge working on his thesis about black holes. And
he was, yeah, he was doing his doctorate, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he, to be told that and to know that you are a brilliant, smart individual and to be told that you've got 2 years, I think, to be fair, it's his pursuit to not give up that made him live until 76. So he lived for 54 years. Just because of his desire to study and to impart knowledge onto people.
Yes.
A lot of what he has done, the work he has done, has helped people develop space flight and develop new ideas about space in general.
Well, he went into low orbit, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
On the aptly named Vomit Comet. So, you know, that was a nice treat for him.
Oh, sure. So, got to experience zero gravity. Yeah, it was zero gravity.
But I think one of the things that's most exciting
was The Simpsons.
Apart from The Simpsons,
sure,
is that we can say, you know, to our grandkids or whatever, that, you know, he's basically like our Einstein. So we got to live in the same generation as a verified genius.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I quite like that. You know, that makes me happy.
Oh. Tom.
Well, you know, do you know what I mean? The guy is a genius, and his work will echo through time.
Yes, it's very. He's definitely. His work is definitely long lasting. It's longer lasting than something that Kim Kardashian would do. But they're not really in the same forum.
No, but I think So where he's buried in Westminster Abbey, is it?
Right next to...
Well, he's opposite Newton, isn't
Newton,
he?
Newton, yeah.
And I'm fairly sure that the Archbishop, or whoever it was that held the ceremony, he made... Oh,
just pouring myself some water, so don't worry about it.
Sure.
Go on.
Sure, not worried. Russian water, though, does it contain Novichok?
It is Novichok, mate.
Russians drink Novichok, is easy.
That's how we get immune to it, you see.
With Stephen Hawking, what was the... Didn't the guy made like a really, really nice joke, like a nice scientific joke, didn't he?
Equals MC squared?
That's Einstein, so...
Still a joke,
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anyway, moving on. That one's lost its weight. Something I'm trying to do. So number two, I don't know why this overtakes Stephen Hawking, but the Leicester City helicopter crash. So for those outside of the UK or who don't pay attention to football, that's proper football, by the way, Americans, not ones that you play with your hands, but
soccer
for some reason. Yeah, the one that David Beckham likes. Leicester City had a chairman, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name, but he was...
Mr. Vichai,
yeah. He was from Thailand and he overtook the club and he oversaw them win the Premier League against all, well, against 1,000 to 1 odds.
Yeah.
And he would famously come to and leave the King Power Stadium in his helicopter. And I think the pilot's pedals failed, didn't they? So they did the ascent, and then they sort of started moving off towards, you know, their direction that they were heading in, and lost control, and the whole thing came down. And yeah, it was tragic. It was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. He was a much respected figure in Leicester as well. He donated a lot of money to community causes, to hospitals, to schools. So he was very much revered outside of football as well as within football. Leicester, and you know, from all the players and all the people that have subsequently wrote something about him or said something about him, he was clearly well liked.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was more than just a football man, like you said. You know, he was massive in the community, and obviously, you know, the fan, you know, the people of Leicester loved him because, you know, he brought them the. He brought them the championship, so he got them the Premier League. So, yeah, fantastic achievement.
No, it is. It is. Given that it was, as you said, 10,000 to one.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's not bad, is it? And then the number one story, we're not going to go into. I don't think we should.
Well, we should still say what it is.
It's Brexit. The most talked about thing for the past 2 years.
But it looked like, so the thing that BBC writes about is saying that for a brief window in mid-November, it actually looked as though an orderly Brexit has been agreed.
Yeah. And I don't think it will be, though, because obviously, so Theresa May, she had, what was it called now? What was the thing that she had?
What?
A popularity vote, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, she was... oh my God!
So she basically had to
A vote of no confidence was called.
A vote of no confidence. That's it. So she had to sustain herself through that and get there. So obviously, a load of people, you know, in the Conservative Party, signed letters saying they had a vote of no confidence in their Prime Minister, and then she had to gain a majority of her own party to regain control. Yeah, it was a whole thing, and yeah. It just makes you worry about where Brexit is actually going. And I'm fairly certain that most Brexiteers now wish that they could turn back the time and vote stay or remain, whichever you want to say.
But do you think there will be another vote, another referendum?
I think that if that gains momentum and people sign petitions and it gets 10,000 signatures, then they can't ignore it. It's something that is literally dividing the country, and that is not something that any party needs.
But do you not think that having a vote again will delegitimise the whole point of the first referendum?
I don't think so, because we live in a democracy.
Sure.
And just, you know, one vote doesn't make everything right. We should be able to see a mistake and rectify it without it being any less legitimate. You know, you have to look at some of the facts that the Brexiteer campaign, they lied massively. You know, they manipulated data and results and lied their way to get the result. You look at most of the politicians that were pro-Brexit now, where are they? Nigel Farage has left his post.
He's setting up a new country, a new party, though.
Oh, what are they called?
Setting up a new party to ensure that they get the Brexit. Probably something like the UK Brexit Party, UKBP.
Right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
UKIP doesn't. Is UKIP still going?
Yeah, they just don't have any seats in the parliament.
So they're pointless.
Sure.
But, I mean, so just to go back up, we're talking about it now, rubbish. When the Conservatives got their voted into to the Premiership. Didn't they join forces with the DUP?
Yes.
And the DUP are Irish?
Yes, Northern Irish.
Northern Irish. But they're anti-Brexit, aren't they?
Yes.
See, it doesn't really make any sense, does it?
No. The reason why they had to do it was because there was no other party stupid enough to go into it. The reason why the DUP went in is because they were promised about £30 billion worth of inducements, i.e. payments for school, investments in roads, etc., etc. So, this was the worst bribe ever in the history of bribes.
Yeah.
So you think that we're going to have a second vote?
I would say so. Okay. I think, to be honest, it's the most logical way for people to dig themselves out of a hole.
Sure.
Do you not? You don't think there will be?
I think it would be very difficult for them to get another vote in.
Difficult, not impossible.
Yeah, but I think it would be very undemocratic for them to go back and say, oh, you know that referendum we had? Let's just ignore that one. Let's go with the one that... Because, okay, so say... Say everyone votes to remain. And then the same number of people sign a petition and kick off saying that we voted to leave. Do we have another one? At what point does it...
Yeah. I see your point. I do. But I don't think that there's very many situations quite like this one where people have been lied to. I just don't think you're going to get many situations like this one where people are actually going to regret their decision.
Well, okay. I think realistically what should have happened is they should have said, okay, if one of the decisions, either yes or no, is below 60%, then the parliament will vote on it and will decide for the people what to do.
Sure.
I think the fact that they left it at 51-49 gives more people the notion that actually people can be swayed. And if just a few more young people vote, which they won't, then we can get the answer that we want. I think if they should have said, if the yes win by 60%, or if the no win by 60%, then that's fine. But if it's less than 60%, then it's just, you need a tiebreaker.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, next.
Next. Let's look at the NBC. Let's look across the pond and see what they're going to do. So, across the pond, we're looking at NBC News. I know. Fake media, fake news, whatever.
Bullshit.
But this is just, they all would have reported on the same sort of news. And what we're going to do is try and stay away from partisan news like anything specifically about Trump, unless it was obvious, so no opinion pieces, just basic things. And we open with a very sad one. Obviously, the US isn't foreign to school shootings, but this was a particularly deadly one. 17 kids were killed, or 17 people were killed in Florida high school. By a 20-year-old student.
Yeah.
Pretty horrific shit.
Yeah, it's bad. And I think it really does underline America's need to change some of its more anarchic laws. They really need to catch up and understand that it's not people with guns that kill people, just guns kill people.
Yeah, I mean, overall, there were 31 people were affected, with 17 killed and 14 wounded.
You know, that's mental.
Yeah.
You know, the repercussions of that are huge.
Yeah.
I know you didn't want to talk about Trump, but this is slightly relevant to this. So I saw it on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
That Trump said, and this is not verbatim, but he essentially said, a school that doesn't have guns is a very dangerous place.
Yes. So instead of calling for the opposite, he went for, actually, we should arm the teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's... What can you say about that one?
I just think it's really stupid, and all he's doing is he's taking tragedies and turning them into political events. So basically, you know, one of his backers is the NRA, and he's pandering to them and using these tragedies as a means of promoting gun use. It's obviously agenda driven.
Well, I think he knows that anyone who has challenged the gun lobby ever has taken a knockback politically. Right. So I think what he's trying to do is just save his own bacon. I think you're right. I think he is pandering. I'm not sure if he believes it, but it's definitely not the answer. The answer to it is make... It's two pronged. Make it difficult for people to get guns, no matter what ability or soundness of mind you are. But also invest in your mental health programs to make sure that these people get spotted and they get, you know, it's not as easy as just, oh, let's just match a gun with a gun. No, that's not the point.
Yeah, you're just gonna end up with so many guns.
Yeah.
And you know, what's to say that a teacher isn't gonna one day just flip, you know, and get his gun out?
Well, it's exactly.
Go postal, as they say.
Exactly. It's not really. I don't think it's the answer. I think he knows it's not the answer, but I think he can't say it otherwise.
But it's just a very sorry state of affairs when
it is.
You let politics influence like it in that sort of respect. It's really bad. Why should a gun lobbying company have power in that respect?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at statistics for 2018. There have been 307 mass shootings in the US.
What's that, 305 more than the UK?
Something like that, yeah. But then we have a huge stabbing issue.
We do.
So.
But we also need to invest more in our mental health.
Absolutely.
I think it's the thing of 2018 in terms of the biggest revelation is understanding just how big a problem, that sounds great.
Good.
Mental health is, we actually did an entire episode on mental health.
We did.
Go and listen. But you've already heard it.
Episode 3 or 4, something like that.
Something like that. It was an early one, but it was also an interesting one because we got to discuss a lot about all the different types of mental health that there is. And all the different stuff that's coming to light and new research, etc., etc.
Sure.
So, I think a lot of investment needs to go into that direction.
I think so. I think it's been a difficult year for the US because of things like phones and awareness of mass shootings. There's been more of a spotlight on things. Because I don't think I've ever heard as much coverage on US mass shootings than I have this year and last year.
No. It was, well, I mean, in America, like, you know, Facebook Live and Periscope are huge, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, people just jump onto that and Snapchat and stuff straight away. It gets to be main widespread news almost immediately.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, and I hope they solve it because a lot of innocent people are dying. Did the Las Vegas shooting happen last year as well? I think it might have done, you know.
Let's have a look.
I think it might have done.
2017.
Ooh.
So, you're wrong.
Yeah, sure. Obviously. Obviously, I'm wrong. So, what's next?
I think I'm actually off the website now. It's Bill Cosby, isn't it?
Yes.
So, a lot of controversy circled Bill Cosby.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, he was obviously a children's TV presenter on Sesame Street, was it?
No.
Oh, no, he had his own show, didn't he? The Bill Cosby show.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sesame Street. I'm sure you have a different paedophile somewhere.
Well, a lot of it is guys with hands up people's, you know, up dolls. Yeah. So, fake news. We don't think that anyone is actually a paedophile.
No.
We don't know. We don't know.
It's all just, you know, shits and giggles.
But he faces a maximum sentence of 10 years. He's 80 years of age, so he'll be 90 when he's released.
If he gets released.
If he gets released.
But yeah, so he was found guilty of sexual assault in a retrial.
Yes.
So yeah, that was pretty nasty from a man in his position. But obviously not the first to do it. You know, obviously we had Jim Will Fix It.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a horrendous predator.
Yeah. He did it to sick kids in hospitals.
Yes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Bill Cosby did some sick shit, but that takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah. Have you watched the Louis Theroux documentary?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he actually says it, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair, so he didn't hide it. He said that, you know, I'd get away with anything.
He did. And Louis Theroux, I think he got quite upset, didn't he? Thinking, how did I not see this?
Yeah.
It was all just there in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy was a fucking maniac. But, you know, next.
Oh, over that one. Now, Brett Kavanaugh.
So tell us the significance of this one, for those who don't know who Brett Kavanaugh is.
So he was appointed into a Supreme Court as a judge by Trump. As part of the formal process, he had to be questioned and examined just on anything that may bring the court into disrepute.
Yeah.
He then had a lot of women come out and say that he raped them or sexually assaulted them in the past. Yeah. 30 years ago, I think, was the date when he was at a university. Yeah. What can I say? Controversial figure by Trump, again. I'm not sure he's ever had a non-controversial figure that both sides of the party agreed to.
No.
Both sides of the House agreed to. Both parties agreed to.
Yeah.
You know.
The interesting thing about this the ironic thing is that Trump would hire someone who's had sexual assault.
Allegations.
His name.
Yeah.
Allegations. When Trump himself has had allegations.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, you know, famously recorded saying, grab women by the pussy.
Yeah, so, don't know what luck he attends, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
Pretty sure in the locker room, I just keep my head down and don't look at other men's cocks.
I'm pretty sure you do. I'm pretty sure you take pictures, that's why you're not looking directly at their cocks. But I mean...
Spurious, by the way. Spurious.
Yeah, of course. I mean, one of the things that has to be said is that actually one of the women for Brett Kavanaugh she admitted to lying and making up her testimony, and that she never actually met Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I think that those type of women... People in general, could be men as well, they need to be as severely punished as the alleged rapists.
I would agree.
Because you're fucking people up. You are.
We spoke about this as well, didn't we?
Sure.
So, go check the back catalogue.
Let's not talk about it because we said it before.
No. I'm just saying. Idiot. We obviously spoke about this because it happened last year.
I'm joking. Yeah.
But I think you're entirely correct that they should face equally strong repercussions.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't think it's fair to call someone a rapist and then say, "Oh, actually, he didn't rape me, and I've never met him."
Yeah.
So why do it?
Been in the same room as him, but he could have raped me. There's articles on Facebook.
Yeah.
So yeah, bullshit. I just thought before we move on to the next one on NBC, something which did upset me in the year 2018, and it was very late 2018, but Japan pulling out of the IWC agreement.
The whales, yeah.
Yeah. So IWC, International Whaling Committee, I think, and they've rejected not catching whales and have gone back to that practice. What do you think to that?
I want to know why. What do they... What?
Well, I mean, they don't even hide. So they say it's for scientific research, but then they say that it's... They also do it for the meat, and it's highly consumed. But the consumerism of meat, the whale meat, went down drastically after a few years after the Second World War. So they were eating it in the war, and just after the war, because it was bad times all round for everyone.
Sure.
Whales were rife in the Pacific where they are, so they ate it. But since we all moved on from World War II and we all progressed, the consumerism went down hugely, and yet they still go out and catch these whales under the reason of scientific research. I really don't understand what research they're getting out of it before they carve them up and sell the meat.
Well, I wonder who they sell it to. There must be a demand for the meat if they're willing to go and supply it. So my question, because it's not an easy way, it's not an easy way to catch a whale. There's a lot of resources that have to be implemented and spent on this exercise. So for me, the question is, who's buying that meat? Because whoever's buying that meat, if they can stop doing that, then the Japs will stop. Sorry, the Japanese will stop hunting the whales.
Yeah, well, this is true, and there's really no need to go and do it in the name of science. I think that's utter bullshit. Because if you're hunting, minke whales, for example, they're endangered. Sure,
that sounds fake. Sure.
So why not do the scientific research on just studying them? Oh, we want to know how these animals live. So let's kill it and carve it up. Fucking fantastic. What a great message for conservation.
I don't really get it. What I don't understand is why do they need to... Because doesn't Norway do it already as well? Don't they have a...
Yeah, they do.
So there must be quite a significant demand for it if Norway's supply is not enough.
I think what it is, they're saying that it's cultural. So it's something that they've always done, they've always gone out and whaled, and it's an industry, etc., etc. So I went onto Twitter, as and I put a poll out asking, should the conservation of an animal be considered less important as conservation of a culture if that culture is killing said animal? And I got a mishmash of results, but ultimately people said no. But a lot of people said yes, and a lot of people said maybe. And I'm kind of there thinking, why maybe? Or why yes? Why does culture get to rise above the existence of an animal, the species?
Well, it's a difficult one. It is because we place so much importance on our own greatness.
But that's it. But So when that animal dies, so when you've hunted that animal to extinction, mostly because of your cultural beliefs and, you know, whatever, what, do you just move on to the next one?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, that animal then, so the one that you've murdered to the point of extinction, now you need to find another one that's equally important in terms of sacrifice or whatever.
Yes. But it's all because we place ourselves in such a high regard that we think that for culture, which is a man-made concept.
Yes.
We can kill other people. Well, not other people, actually. Other
species.
Yeah.
That is just egotistical.
Yes, it is, but that's just how we are. Because of our culture, because of our species, we think that we can
do what the fuck we want.
Yeah, and we can keep animals in cages and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, okay. Next.
California wildfires.
Yes, they were atrociously bad.
Yeah.
That was awful. So
that was awful. Did they find out what happened in the end?
As far as I'm aware, didn't it start on a vineyard?
Right.
But I can't claim to know. But it was atrocious, and it really shows you the level of drought in California. I've got family in California, and they have hosepipe bans all the time.
Mm.
It upsets my granddad a lot because he can't water his garden. but, you know, all jokes aside, it's a dreadful situation that they're in when a first world, you know, country and state like California is facing drought. And I think it's also very highlighting in terms of global warming. And yet it's something that, you know, Mr. Trump likes to refute.
What, the global warming is a thing?
Yes. Yeah, you say things like, oh, we're set for our coldest ever winter. What happened to global warming?
Yeah. I mean, I think the main issue there is that if they deny this, then they must deny that fire is an issue, right? Yeah. If they say that global warming doesn't exist and doesn't increase the temperatures and the lack of rainfall in California, it means that there are no fires, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all natural.
It's nothing unusual.
How many fires have California had that have killed so many people?
Quite a few.
And have they been going up in frequency and magnitude?
I think they might have been,
year on year, so, you know. Correlation doesn't mean causation, but sometimes you have to look at the fucking statistics, don't you? That's just how it is. What about science news? Let's discuss science news.
Can I just briefly
intervene?
So I'm just flipping through Twitter because I can. I didn't see this. I wonder if you did. So the United States military posted a tweet. It says, Times Square tradition rings in the new year by dropping the big ball. If ever needed, we are ready to drop something much, much bigger. And the video is of a stealth bomber.
Oh, dear.
So, they've apologised. They said, our previous New Year's Eve tweet was in poor taste and did not reflect our values.
Oh, yeah.
We apologise. We are dedicated to the security of America and allies.
Oh, dear.
And this is from the US Strategic Command.
Yeah, okay.
That is fucking shocking.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It shows how shit they are. It also shows how flawed humans are. And how actually giving them so much power is the wrong way to do it.
That's not even a joke, though, is it?
Well, yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
I agree that it's stupid, but I also think that human beings are flawed individuals. And to give them so much power, humans will always exploit power. Not all of them, perhaps, but some of them will, and a lot of them will, I think. So when you give people the ultimate power, which is a nuclear weapon which can detonate and kill everyone in the world,
yeah.
They will just, you know, it'll be like a cat pawing a mouse. It will just play with it, and that's what they're doing. They're playing with it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever. Idiots, basically.
Yeah, massively.
Top 10 news stories.
Of science?
Yeah.
So, go on.
Male birth control pill passes a safety test. Now, this is actually... I'm very pro this.
Okay.
Because I can... It means that I can regulate it.
Sure.
But I'm not sure if I can trust myself taking... Being able to take things... If it comes in a pill form.
Right. Why is that?
Regularly. Because I'm bad at it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Are you a creature of habit?
Yes and no. It takes me a while to get into a habit.
I think 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, pretty sure you'd be able to, you'd be fine.
But also, what this pill does is it reduces testosterone and other reproductive hormones levels.
Right, yeah.
Now, if you reduce testosterone, don't get me... maybe you can explain this to me, but don't you lose the desire to have sex?
Yes.
So, is it in fact just an abstinence pill?
Probably.
And isn't that... Men just won't take it because they can't get a hard-on?
Well, you probably see Viagra sales go through the roof.
Yeah. I'm not sure I agree with that. I agree with the concept of a male-based birth control pill. But I'm not sure how easily it can be done.
Yeah. I think it's got to be one that doesn't shut testosterone down, because it's quite an important... I just think, you know, when you dabble with hormones and when you play around like this...
Well, you say that, but the female birth control pill is basically that.
No, I've known people that it messes with their personalities and they refuse to take it.
True, same. Or it messes with their physiological health as well.
Yeah, it can make them retain water and they blow up and you know, it's not natural.
It's not.
Not a good,
it's
not. You know, I still just think slap a condom on.
Or just pull out. You know. No, come on. Have
50%
sex.
50% of the time it works every time.
Have sex responsibly, guys.
Yeah. We're sponsored by Durex.
Just... guys are Durex if you want. Do you want to introduce the next one?
Sure. So, quite interesting, actually. I didn't actually read this one myself.
I've never heard this one, yeah.
A 5,000-year-old mass grave harbouring the oldest plague bacteria ever found. So... skeleton of a long-dead Scandinavian lady yielded bacterial DNA showing that she contracted the earliest known case of the plague in humans. So they think that the good stuff that could come out of this is that the genetic code could help us uncover the origins of the deadly disease. Not really sure how relevant that is.
or even the point of it.
Well, I think the only point of it is it can be weaponized now.
Yeah. So, again, not to cure humans, but to scare them into submission. Brilliant. Yeah,
basically. It's interesting. That is interesting. But, you know, if you read between the lines, you can also see that you should be terrified.
Yeah. So. My next one is going to be the brain may clean out Alzheimer's plaques during sleep.
Oh.
So a provocative theory that sleep deprivation can cause the brain's garbage disposal to short circuit, leading to Alzheimer's disease, is getting renewed attention. Now, for those of you who don't know, when in the beginning Tom introduced me as the hibernating bear, I was actually making sure that my brain isn't as susceptible to Alzheimer's as before.
Sure. Well, you know, we can all... we can all say that we do that, but really, you're just being lazy.
But it is interesting, and I do sort of understand why. When you sleep, there's a lot of physiological things that happen to you internally. With the brain. So it's a way for the brain to shut down and to clean out any gunk that's inside the brain. For me, it makes sense. Obviously, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm barely a human. So I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact that the brain cleans itself. And if you keep working it and working it and working it, then obviously something will happen that will prevent it from maintaining itself.
Sure. I think it's pretty self-evident, really, that sleep would reduce your chances of you know, these debilitating diseases. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you look at how dangerous it is for you to deprive yourself of sleep, and all the health factors that come into it straight away, it's really obvious if you think about it, even from a very small scientific perspective, it's quite evident that sleep is going to be good for you.
Well, it's interesting that I was reading that when you are awake, your brain sends out hormones to keep you awake. And then when it's time to sleep, it sends you hormones to send you to sleep.
Yeah.
But the more that you stay awake, the more aggressive the brain sends out the hormone to get you to sleep.
Right.
So it starts to work overdrive to get you to actually to sleep. So driving when you're tired or sleep deprived is the worst thing, because all the brain is telling you to do is to sleep and not pay attention to everything else.
Yeah.
So don't drive sleep deprived, kids.
Yeah.
And adults.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah. What about Mars having a salty lake beneath the red planet's south polar ice sheets?
Yeah.
Number seven. I'm not sure if there's any life on Mars, you know.
If there is, you're talking extremely basic,
extremely
microbial.
Basic. Extremely basic.
I think the best thing for me that will come of it is it will probably blow religion out the water.
Right.
Because, you know, God doesn't say anything about doing experiments on Mars.
Yeah, okay, but he created the universe.
Sure. Okay, fine. Well, he can have that, but he's not having the microbes. He's not even mentioned them. He just said life on Earth. Unless there's... Is there going to be a Bible 2?
Yeah, the sequel.
No, I think it'd be a prequel, wouldn't it?
The Future Testament, so...
yeah, no, it's interesting, though. In the name of science, it's brilliant to see these things and understand more about our solar system, which is a fascinating place.
What do you think, just kind of staying on the same thing, but also moving away from it?
Sure. Oxymoron.
What do you think will happen in 2019? What are the big things?
I reckon, you know, I think that the Brexit situation, I think that's a big thing that will happen. I think that there'll be another referendum or something along those lines. Either that or there'll be a big U-turn. There's going to be a lot of headway made in science. I think we could be... I think NASA are going to announce that we're going to the moon again.
Oh, okay.
I think I read that somewhere, that they're thinking of doing another moon landing.
Do you think it's going to happen via a private enterprise?
Probably. I think, aren't Virgin Galactic going to space this year?
Yes.
So they're taking people up. Only the rich, obviously.
Sure.
They even need to be famous. Just the very, very elitely rich. But I think it's going to be a good year for science. That would be my prediction. It's going to be a strong year for science. What would you say?
Why do you say that?
Well, I just think people are becoming more interested in science. I think it's getting to be popularized again. People enjoy science. I think, you know, if you look at podcasts like The Infinite Monkey Cage with Brian Cox and Robin Ince.
Sure.
That's really popular at the moment. And you always have, I think it was Professor Alice Roberts. She was on the New Year's TV show in the Royal Academy doing stuff. And I just think it's, you know, you look at all the TV shows that are making headway. I think it's, you know, it's becoming a very popular choice for people to watch. I think people are starting to become more aware of their surroundings and their place in the world in terms of science, you know.
Interesting you say that, because I sort of think the same thing. I think that science is getting finally the sort of awe and wonder that it deserves, because it's doing some absolutely incredible things.
Yeah.
And I think people will start to pay more attention and champion things like, and support things that are scientific in nature. I hope that more people get into it. I know that obviously it's just a long-standing issue that the UK and a lot of the Western societies have very low levels of scientists.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, what are your predictions?
Well, I think... Well, okay. Things that we know that will happen. There will be a new iPhone, classic.
Sure.
There will be driverless cars. I think it'll be really interesting to see the bigger mainstream car manufacturers going into the electric car game.
Right.
Audi released one. Mercedes are going to release one. I think BMW are working on one. Volvo have released one. And I think that's where it's going. And I think it's going to be really interesting. And I wonder what Tesla are going to do. How are Tesla going to challenge these guys? Because remember, these are, you know, Tesla has issues with production and meeting deadlines. These guys don't have that issue.
Sure.
Because they're used to producing 20,000 cars a week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what Tesla does to stay at the forefront of it. I think.
Do you think that there could be a unifying between Tesla and another company?
I don't think that. I think Elon Musk wants and respects independence too much.
Right.
For him to start getting in bed with another company. I think his whole point of not being a traditional car company, because he could have partnered up with BMW, couldn't he?
Yeah, true, yeah.
But he decided to actually build everything by himself. I'm not sure he's going to look for it. If anything, it might get bought or it might be sold by Elon Musk to someone else.
Yeah.
Or someone will just license it. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I think Trump will not go anywhere. I think he'll be. I just don't think the closest that might happen is that he might not run for the second term. But I don't think anything will happen to him. I think he knows how to manipulate a situation to suit his angle. So I'm not sure.
Do you think he will get Congress to get his wall?
Well, the Democrats already said that they're working on a resolution to the issue.
Right.
So, you know, I think there'll be a negotiation to maybe part finance it and then to get it sponsored by, I don't know, private enterprises.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's a huge advertisement platform for companies.
Yeah.
It's just who would want to put their fucking company name onto a wall that's preventing people from getting over.
Yeah.
That's going to be an issue. But, and I think that Yarn Spinners will become a top 20 podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Well, I mean, that is a very generous prediction. And I sincerely hope that you are correct.
I'm pretty sure I am, so.
So, no, you're not usually wrong. But, well, I mean, I guess we should let the listeners get on with their new year, should we? And they can wait with bated breath for our next episode.
Yes, next episode we hopefully, we keep saying this, but we hope to get Chrissy back.
Yes.
This was just a short episode, an hour and 20 minutes.
To say goodbye to 2018.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot have happened. Obviously, personally, we have set up Yarn Spinners. We have got to 600 listens, nearly.
We have. We're currently on 598.
Come on, guys.
We've had 10 plays in the last hour.
Come on, guys. Just two more listens and get us to 600. So generally, it's been really exciting, and hopefully we'll do more and do more interesting things next year. Well, this year.
And actually, you know, have giveaways and prizes. You know, we'll print a T-shirt.
Or a sticker that Tom has promised.
Oh, yeah. What was the competition? how many plays are we currently on?
We just told them. So,
you know, it's an easy competition, isn't it? I'm not the lottery, right? Don't guess six numbers between 1 and 48, right? Just get it right. It's 598. Congratulations, I've just won the sticker.
Oh, okay, there we go.
So, well done to me.
Uh-huh.
Free postage and packaging. But, no, it's been a good year for us, and plenty more to come.
Absolutely, absolutely, buddy, absolutely. So where can they find us to suggest to us any new ideas?
Well, they could always hop along to Twitter and send us a little tweet, or they can hit us up on Facebook. So we're at YarnSpinners1 on Facebook, and we are at PodcastYarn on Twitter. You can also send us an email. YarnSpinnersPodcast@gmail.com. That is where you can find us, or drop us a line on YouTube, you know, comment on one of our videos. And keep your eyes peeled on YouTube, because we're going to drop some more videos and stuff. And
yes, we are.
And go across multiple platforms. So,
and we're also going to set up a Patreon page as well.
We want money.
Yeah, because we need to get a studio, we need to get guests in, so it's going to be we want to get legit.
It's not for personal gain. We just want to make a show that people want to come on and people want to listen to.
Absolutely.
So, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Anyway,
in the meantime, enjoy your new year.
Do enjoy it. Obviously working day tomorrow. Are you going back to work tomorrow?
I'm back at work on Thursday.
Oof, very nice. Very nice. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well,
pleasure.
Pleasure as always. Speak to you soon.
See you later.
Peace out, guys. Peace.
Peace.